So the scripture this morning comes from Isaiah 58, verses 3 to 7. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?
Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high.
Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in a sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?
Is not this the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke?
Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? This is the word of God for the people of God. Blessings to you, Randy.
Thank you, children, for passing out the sticky notes. This theme of fasting, Donna, I appreciated your opening comments there, because if I'm completely honest, and I'll be sharing a story a little bit later on in the sermon, this is a spiritual discipline for myself as well that, you know, it's not something I do very often. And it's a little bit uncomfortable to think about fasting sometimes. But I titled the sermon very intentionally this morning, Figuring Out Fasting Together. Okay, so now if you know our vision and mission statement here, it's figuring out together how to follow Jesus and make our community and the world a better place. And so as followers of Jesus, we figure out lots of things together. We figure out what it means to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We figure out what it means to love our neighbors. We figure out what it means to spiritually grow together. And as we've been sharing all year, it's kind of a theme from the ministry team, is this emphasis on spiritual growth and spiritual disciplines. And I love this idea of figuring out these disciplines together. And we're going to have an opportunity next week to share about your experiences of fasting from something this coming week, if you would like to. It's obviously not required. But then next week, we're really going to have an opportunity to share together about how we're growing together in this discipline. But really quickly, when we talk about spiritual formation, that's a word that we use a lot, but what does it really mean when we say we care about spiritual formation? This is one way that Richard Foster talks about formation. He says, it is a means of God's grace. I love that. It's a means of God's grace for the continuing formation of the human personality into the likeness of Christ. That's what we're talking about with spiritual formation, is that through these disciplines that we're practicing together, individually and together, we are growing and being formed into what? As Foster says, into the likeness of Christ. Spiritual formation. That's at the heart of what followers of Jesus is about, being followers of Jesus is about. And when we think about this idea of disciplines and practice, a good example from this past week, I was at LMH Pastor's Day, and the first class that I went to was jazz band. All right, we got Alana and Sean's in it, and Luke. And it was, you guys, first of all, sounded really good. But what were they doing? They were practicing. They were practicing for their upcoming Christmas concert, I think, because there were some Christmas songs in there. And, you know, you would get like, you know, a minute in, and then the conductor says, stop, hold up, you know, got to fix that one thing up there. It's really good, but let's work on that. And this section, work on that and practice it a little bit more. And it's practice, and whatever we do, we have to practice it in order to get better at it. It's really the same thing in some of these spiritual disciplines, in that we have to practice them together. We figure them out together, and there is so much room for grace along the way. This isn't about trying to do it perfectly and then feeling the shame and guilt when we mess up again because I didn't practice it good enough. That's actually what some of this text is going to talk about, is it's the wrong intentions in some of these practices. But my invitation as we come to this spiritual discipline this morning is that we would keep at the center of all of this the goal of spiritual formation. Formation into what? Into the likeness of Christ. That we may become more like Christ in how we love God and love others. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you so much for Whitmer Heights congregation, for the community, our neighbors. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to sing together and pray together, to dig into your word in Isaiah, and learn and grow together into your likeness, Lord. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us and to teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a text in Isaiah on this theme of fasting. And if you would do a biblical search of fasting in the Bible, there are so many texts that come up. It's incredible. If you ever just want to Google that word and see the immense amount of scriptures in the Old Testament and the New that relate to fasting, it's a very significant spiritual practice in Scripture. And so it makes sense then as followers of Jesus that we think about how this practice is significant for us today. So I'm going to actually take us through a few different scriptures, but I do want to start with this text in Isaiah, Isaiah 58. The prophet here, Isaiah, in the beginning, he's calling them out. He's basically saying, listen, the way that you are practicing fasting, it's not the way that God intends this to be. And I think the biggest thing that Isaiah is concerned about here is this desire for an outwardly righteousness. It quickly becomes apparent as we read this text that Isaiah is actually being sarcastic when he says, day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways. Their outward piety is on display when they are portrayed as asking, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Why is there this desire to have other people know that we are somehow being righteous? It seems to be this theme in human history that we have a need to pull ourselves up and make ourselves feel better and more holy and righteous by having others also be able to see what we're doing. And it's the same thing here in Isaiah. It seems that they are having a hard time just having their identity and security in the love of God. And they have to find some of their security and identity in the approval of others. There are various indications that fast days in this context in Isaiah were kept very regularly after the destruction of Jerusalem. These were intended to bow before God, Yahweh, and ask for forgiveness and blessing. But what we actually see here is that the prophet Isaiah describes the fast as full of violence and oppression of workers. Perhaps, maybe, they were not giving their workers the Sabbath rest that was so important that Yahweh intended work to be with rest. Or maybe he condemns the fast days as other ways of violence and injustice. But we are told that the purpose of the fast is for humility, forgiveness of sins, and to loose the bonds of injustice. Isaiah 58:6. It's interesting, I think, and eye-opening for me, that the purpose of fasting is actually connected to working for justice. I never made those connections before the way that this text makes that connection. This passage really resonates with my own life and I think aspects of our own times. Like those who claim to keep the fast and were trying to somehow impress others to look more holy than thou, and yet in doing so completely missed the intentions of what fasting is for, which is actually the very opposite, which is this posture of humility, this posture of vulnerability, of bowing before God in seeking forgiveness. And so we have these incredible contrasts here. On the one side, this almost pride, and on the other hand, here what we're called to, humility, seeking God's face, working for justice for those who have need, who have basic needs not being met. We see that contrast so well here. And so it's not surprising then that there are so many profound connections between Isaiah 58's call on the people and all of us to work for justice, to bring good news to the poor, to let the oppressed go free. There is that direct connection here between Isaiah and who Jesus was. Jesus is the very fulfillment of those words, to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free. And then I want to take us to another place in Scripture where we see this theme of fasting, and it's Jesus himself. Jesus fasted. If we look at Matthew 4:1-11, why does Jesus fast? Well, one of the biggest reasons we are told Jesus fasts is to resist temptation. And so as we're figuring out together here why we fast or how this can help us grow spiritually, it looks like fasting is one way to resist temptation. When you deprive yourself of something that you normally have, it may open spaces up in our lives to consider places where we need God's grace, where we are feeling tempted in sin. That deprivation of something, and it doesn't have to be food, but something that is so a part of our normal routines, when we stop that for a moment and give that space to considering God and God's forgiveness and grace, it may help us in an area that we're struggling with. And very closely related to that is this need to confess sin, this need for confession. And I want to take us to a text in Nehemiah 9:1-3 that really just hits at the heart of why fasting is so important. It says, "Now on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting, in sackcloth and with dirt upon them. The descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. While he stood in their place, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God." Wow. What if one of the purposes of fasting is simply to take that extra time and space that we now have to humble ourselves and to confess to God that we need God's grace, that we have sinned and we need forgiveness? And how closely then that is connected then to this resisting of the temptation that we maybe feel in certain areas. What if that is one of the purposes of fasting that we see here in Nehemiah? Another reason that we fast, very simply put, to be more aware of God and our dependence on God. This ancient practice, all the way back in the people of Israel, of fasting, shows us something profoundly important. That when we take time away from something that we're used to doing, or we take something away of our that we're dependent on, it makes us more aware that we are human, that we cannot save ourselves, and that we are dependent on God. It's so much in our human nature to believe that we can do it ourselves, that maybe even we are God, because we see that theme in Scripture, like the Tower of Babel, is this belief that they could know that knowledge of God and that they could build a tower up to heaven. And God crumbles that. No, it's not on your own power and knowledge. It's about me first as creator. This idea, though, that we can be self-sufficient on our own, God is crumbling that. And he's crumbling that for us this morning. And we learn that in fasting. Mere creatures, from dust to dust, ashes to ashes, we are in so much more need than we ever can perceive or imagine, let alone admit. Because we live in a world where it's so easy to think that we can do it on our own. But God can change us even when we think that we need not be changed. Fasting, giving up something that we are dependent on to recognize that is our dependence on God. And so we have these different images and texts in Scripture that show us this spiritual discipline of fasting. And yet, if I'm honest, it's often the motives, just like in this text in Isaiah, that sometimes get in the way for myself as I think about this spiritual practice of fasting. If I'm honest, there is a part of me that wants other people to know, that wants other people to know that I am practicing this really well. And I want to share a little story about a time when I tried to practice fasting and I kind of had this incredible awareness that my motives were completely wrong. It was during youth evangelism service in 2004, and my team went to Birmingham, Alabama. This is with Eastern Mennonite Missions. And I think I was 19 at that time, so my brain was not fully developed yet, so I'm using that as one of my excuses. I think it's at 23 that happens. But anyways, my team leader invited us to practice fasting together at the start of the new year. And it was really, her hope was that, I mean, she really had good intentions. She really did. I mean, it wasn't forced upon us. It was an invitation, with the goal of being more aware of God's presence and dependence on God in the coming year. And so she said, you know, you don't have to, you can do it for a day. You can do it for a few days if you feel called to wanting to do it for a week. I'm not going to stop you. So, of course, being the competitive person that I am and with my teammates, we get this thought, no, we're going to do it a week. We got this. And, you know, we start off, and I really appreciate Nathan Foster, because when you look back at this chapter on fasting, we looked at this book last year in Sunday school. He talks about some of the same things that I wrestled with, of motives and sometimes wrong motives. But what ended up happening is that it just became this competition in my heart that I am going to make this 7 days. And what ended up happening was that I totally missed the point of fasting, in that it became so much about me needing to do this that I actually did the very opposite of what the goal of fasting is to acknowledge my need for God. And that it's not about me and my own competitive spirit that can make it. And it was really only a few years later, when I was reflecting back on some of these experiences in Yes, that I just like had this like, wow, I totally missed it. I totally missed the whole point of fasting, because my own competitive spirit and need to be just as good as my teammates ended up getting in the way. But isn't that so true for many of us? Is that it's messy. We mess up. And I think that we give ourselves grace. I gave myself grace as I reflected back on that a few years later in seminary. And I recognized that was just part of my growing, I guess. It recognized my own sin there. And it was an opportunity to really kind of recognize that, no, this is about God and God's grace, first and foremost. It's not about me, and as hard as I try, getting it and being holy. And so, as I think about fasting and this spiritual practice, this isn't about a competition this week as we're going to write up something we want to fast about. It's that would actually be completely missing the point of this whole thing. It's not about being holier than the other, or, you know, trying to your hardest. No, I'm going to give up everything, not just meat for a week. I'm going to give up everything. Trust, pray about in your spirit. Maybe what is God calling you to fast from this week? And it doesn't have to be food either. Maybe it's giving up television for a week. Maybe it's giving up the internet for a week. Whatever it may be, but with this purpose in mind, that if we're going to practice this discipline of fasting together, we want it to be shaped by Scripture. And if we're going to have it be shaped by the Scripture in Isaiah, one of the first things that we see is that it's not about this, I'm doing it really well, because that's really the pride and the sin in the whole story. But it's about this posture of humility, of vulnerability, of getting on our knees in prayer and recognizing God's incredible grace in our lives, and this opportunity to ask for forgiveness and continued growth in Christ. The exact opposite of thinking I can do it on my own, in my own competitive spirit. There's something powerful when we do things together. Throughout Scripture, fasting is often taken on as a community practice, not an individual effort. And we see this in many of the spiritual disciplines, in that there is something powerful that happens when we do them in community. Why? Because there is this sense of walking together, of learning together, of growing together. That's why we do church together. We practice these disciplines together. We mess up together and we get it right together. We spur each other on. And so my prayer, and as the elders are thinking about this spiritual discipline of fasting, is that it truly would be this working and figuring out together. And so if you feel invited to this week, write something down that you want to try to grow in fasting, whatever it may be. And then next week, let's come together. We're going to have a little bit of extra singing next week. It's a fifth Sunday. And then there's also going to be an extended time during sharing time when we can share our experiences. What was really hard? Where did I really see God in new ways that I never had before? And recognizing that your story and your experience may be encouraging the person right next to you in ways we never imagined. And so why do we fast? We fast to be more aware of God's presence. We fast because it's connected to justice and fulfilling the words of Jesus. We fast because there's an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. We fast because we recognize it's not about us, but it's about God. And so let's figure out fasting together. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much that even when we try and we mess up, Lord, your forgiveness and your grace covers us. God, we read here in Isaiah, your people who also didn't always get fasting right either. And you gently call them out, Lord, through your prophet Isaiah. And you call them to transformation. You call them to justice. You call them to postures of humility and vulnerability and forgiveness and recognizing you. So, Lord, just as you did that through the prophet Isaiah and through Israel, we know that you're continuing to do that within our congregation. So as we practice these disciplines, as we practice fasting this week, we pray for your grace to cover us, that we may go with a posture of humility, a posture of vulnerability, and seeking you. In Jesus' name, amen.